Tuning in to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, you are on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz or .nz if you happen to be in New Zealand, because there's some, for some description, there's some reason why people decide to have different pronunciations of different letters all over the world and different metric systems and imperial systems and whatnot. It's just all a bunch of crap as far as I'm concerned. Now, speaking of bunches of crap, an audience with Tony Blair, lessons in leadership, negotiation, and innovation. This is an invite to people in Auckland, Melbourne, Brisbane, Sydney, and Perth, where the former Prime Minister of the UK, is going to be stopping by. Ticket prices. Get this. $1,000 per person. Ticket includes a full sit-down banquet meal and attendance at the pre-event cocktail party. $10,000 per table of 10. Tables of 10 include a full sit-down banquet meal and attendance at the pre-event cocktail pockets. And then there's the $1,500 VIP ticket, which gives you a seat at one of the best tables in the house, quote-unquote, and one ticket to a private pre-event meet-and-greet and individual photograph with Tony Blair. And get this. The $15,000 VIP table of 10 includes the best seats in the house and 10 tickets to the pre-event meet and greet and one individual photograph for everybody at the table with the fabulous Tony Blair. Now, how does he make his money? Well, now you know. He gets something like 400 Gs per speaking engagement. This guy is a effing mass murderer, okay? He is scum. He is an evil, pathetic swine. Don't give him any of your effing money. Don't take any of his leadership advice. Because what the F is he good at negotiating and innovating if he just invades people for no effing good reason and he innovates a way to get himself out of parliament so that people won't frickin' hang him? That's not the kind of lesson in leadership you need, ladies and gentlemen. If anything, I'm going to be there with a camera when that scum shows up and tell him to get the F out of my country. Okay? Seriously, man. Mr. Blair, you're a total scumbaggery, and I don't want you anywhere near my soil. It's pretty straightforward, I would have thought. When you see evil scumbags coming anywhere near your country, it's your job, okay, as a patriot, as a defender of liberty, of freedom, of whatever the F you want to call it, to wind up messing with them while they're here, okay? Get some of your own back. He's responsible for the deaths of goodness knows how many people, responsible for the repeal of goodness knows how many rights of the people of the UK, and therefore he should be resisted, cajoled, and harangued wherever he effing goes, instead of getting paid 400,000 New Zealand dollars for a speaking engagement where he will give everybody huge quantities of propaganda and tell them how fabulous it is to be a prime minister and break the frickin' laws that they write. All right. And I apologize for being quite so angry. I just really don't like this guy. In fact, he's one of a long list of globalist scumbags who, for some reason, everybody thinks is just the effing saint. They're not. They're, if anything, they're the direct opposite. They're total demons. Okay? Wouldn't be surprised if this guy's involved in child sacrifice or you know, killing a goat with his by staring at it or something like that. You know. Who knows? the evil crap that they get up to behind the doors at 10 Downing Street with their Masonic floor. Just like a Masonic floor in the New Zealand Parliament, incidentally. It seems to me, of course, that when you have people like this in the public eye, high profile, they are a target of opportunity. Much like a terrorist or a Colombian kidnapper would look for targets of opportunity, to engage, to kidnap, etc. Patriots also have targets of opportunity too. And these are the people that you ambush with a camera. Ask them tough questions. Let them know that you're not going to be their slave. Let them know that they're not going to get their new world order. Show up, okay? Protest outside the event. Tell every one of these very well-dressed individuals who paid $1,000 to $1,500 per seat that they are scum and that they are supporting evil. They are satanic cult members who love tyranny. That you can't make it any more clean cut than that. And, he's past the point of no return, in my opinion. When you kill a million plus Iraqis and then you write a memoir about what a great decision it was, you're scum, okay? I don't care what argumentative points you've done. I don't give two flying Fs about what humanitarian crap that you've done, giving out sterilants to black people because you just love eugenics so much. I don't care how noble you are. Because everything is undermined completely by the fact that they're mass murderers. Or at least in my opinion. I could be wrong. You know, it depends on your definition of murder. Because apparently, as soon as you declare war on somebody, or in this case, completely undeclared war, if you kill somebody with a rifle and you got troops behind you, it ain't murder. It's combat. And what a sick joke, you know. Absolutely frickin' ugh. Speaking of sick, article in here got sent this morning by the fabulous Dr. Len Horowitz, and it's quite a long article. Sherry and Len do the research. Basically, here's the headline. Child trafficking and sex scandal exposes a Justice Department cover-up administered by officials in the CIA and FBI, by Sherry Kane and Leonard G. Horowitz. In Los Angeles, shocking proof has surfaced to indict a former FBI Division 5 director for lying about his marriage to Church of Satan heiress Diana Rivoli and Anton LaVey's ex-wife to keep a secret child trafficking sex slavery network hidden. The revealing document threatens to shake up the Justice Department with many questions as to why the FBI, working with the CIA, has been unable to stop a network of child traffickers from kidnapping, raping, and sexually enslaving hundreds, possibly thousands, of American children annually. And, of course, this is along the same lines as DynCorp, a major U.S. corporation that was caught recently with a massive child trafficking ring under their belt. Okay? Child trafficking, human trafficking, basically... Is it a surprise to you that because of the fact that the international banks have control over our countries and completely enslave us and tax us to death, that all the biggest corporations in the world engage in child trafficking? No, it shouldn't be a surprise whatsoever. If anything, it's simply natural progression. But it's not really natural progression because it's been going on the whole time. In the handwritten letter recovered from 1998, Ted Gunderson, a retired FBI, CIA official and informant on matters of a satanic network of pedophiles and child traffickers, wrote, "The marriage to Diana Rivoli didn't work out. It only lasted 2.5 weeks, and I left. It would have been a catastrophe to stay there. Nothing against Diana." The letter, signed with kisses and hugs, was sent to Gunderson's professional associate, Barbara Hartwell, who was programmed to serve in the CIA's Psychological Operations Unit. She trained in psychological profiling and in debriefing military and intelligence personnel, and later toured with the Gunderson to disseminate intelligence on government corruption, according to Hartwell. Their assignments included a child trafficking operation linked to officials of the CIA, US military, Church of Satan, and Justice Department. The stunning admission and letter raises several scandalous questions, including why mind controlled inductees were assigned to operate as enemies of the state, even embracing Satanism to disseminate indicting intelligence on US government corruption on behalf of the CIA. Now, of course, bear in mind that intelligence agencies are often very, very deeply involved when it comes to setting up satanic cults. All right. In fact, they helped to, I think it was the FBI that helped to set up the KKK, and it's just, the list goes on, all right, seriously. This is the modus operandi. One reason involves undermining dissident activism by generating, quote-unquote, controlled opposition. Fake dissidents provide cover for criminal operations and deter real grassroots movements from sparking revolutions. Another explanation involves globalization and propaganda intended to undermine nationalism to embrace governance through the United Nations. Hartwell and Gunderson toured with alleged CIA mind control victim sex slave Bryce Taylor, whose celebrity is widely known among American patriot and Christian fundamentalist groups. One researcher among them, Robert Sterling, discerned a deeper conspiracy operating here. He concluded that the most effective form of disinformation is that which blurs the truth with fiction, so effectively that they become impossible to differentiate. And of course, there's an awful lot of confusion out there as to what's true and what's really not. My opinion is whatever's true is true, and whatever's not is not. And bugger it, if I can be discerning enough, I'll just do what I think is right. He noted that the time Taylor and other alleged victims of the CIA's Project Monarch, or the MK Ultra sex slavery operation, such as Kathy O'Brien, hit the lecture circuit. Some powerful research was starting to circulate in alternative circles involving satanic pedophilia operations. Now, for those of you who are a bit sick of this topic, I mean, bear with me, because this is actually, in my opinion, one of the most important elements of New World Order study, is the study of the occult and of child rape and all of those kind of things, because it is the real pinnacle of evil here. Okay, if you want to know your enemy, you want to know what they're like when they're at their worst. This is what they're like when they're at their worst. They kidnap, rape, and kill babies, not just children, but babies as well. Okay, they are absolute demons, and they want control of your country. They want control of you. They want control of everything. Now, if you think that there's any possibility that a loving United Nations, incidentally set up with the help of Rockefellers and Nazis, is going to help you when it comes to your children being kidnapped, or being raped or murdered, okay, they're not going to, okay? They're the ones that are behind it all. Gunderson's letter, citing his marriage to Rively, helps clarify a criminal conspiracy responsible for censoring the actual number of abductions that experts put annually in the tens of thousands just in the United States. The letter compels investigations of two satanic churches and the FBI and CIA, the agency supposedly gathering intelligence on kidnappings to arrest villains. In addition, officials in Congress, the White House, and even the Vatican, concerned about criminal exposures and embarrassing publicity over matters of pedophilia, are susceptible to additional investigations compelled by the letter. The letter proves Gunderson lied about his marriage to Diana and confirms that many independent investigators determined Gunderson secreted his relationship with satanic church officials, evidencing a double agent assignment. Okay? There's another aspect that's also very important. Understand what a double agent is. Okay? Somebody working for the other side who's your friend. Yeah, baby. Isn't that just nice? Over the years, Gunderson, and of course, Gunderson is a well known in the Patriot movement as being a supporter of liberty and all of that. So this is actually quite hard for me to read all this. Over the years, Gunderson, a high-profile CIA and FBI official, had been harshly criticized for lamely addressing pedophilia, sex slavery, and the quote-unquote Franklin cover-up involving Nebraska Senator John DeCamp. Politicians and Catholic priests, as FBI Division 5 director, Gunderson gathered intelligence on the satanic network that involved members of the Church of Satan. Or the and the Temple of Set, the CIA, FBI, judges, prosecutors, politicians, and other clients acquiring sex slaves he failed to disclose publicly or pursue through internal affairs. Now, you can actually listen to interviews conducted by the Church of Set. All right, I've listened to one, and they sound like very normal, reasonable, quite well-adjusted people who just happen to love the Dark Lord, okay? But that's their public face, okay? What they don't do on these recordings or on television is sacrifice a child in front of you, okay? Because then everybody would be up in arms. But if you talk about how Christianity is bad and how, you know, the Church of Set was set up long ago and how good it is to be nestled close to the bosom of the horny one, etc., etc., then everybody just goes, oh, well, you know, they might be just a little bit crazy. It's just okay. It's okay. No, they're a bunch of demon-worshipping filth, okay? Period. I'm not a Christian. I'm not even sure if I belong in any religion, but I believe in my eternal spirit, soul, and I believe in doing right by people. And there are many Christian values that I hold dear, although I wouldn't go into a church to get read out of a book what my life's going to be like. I'd rather just write the book myself. Many conscientious objectives, including Hartwell, charged Gunderson with protecting his superiors and the network. Gunderson, however, had repeatedly denied allegations of his marriage to the Church of Satan heiress, sorceress, and high priestess Diana Ribley, a.k.a. Diana Hegarty. The revelation would have devastated his career and generated domestic outrage and possibly risked national security. Imagine the public learning that their president's acquired, kidnapped, satanically trained sex slaves through the FBI and CIA. Just imagine. Don't imagine any longer, because it's true. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show, and I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And today I'm going to be covering Satanism and the Temple of Set and how the FBI, CIA kind of ties in with that. We're reading out this article here by Sherry Kane and Len Horowitz, two of the biggest COINTELPRO exposers in the world today. It does, of course, ring true that if you decide to expose scum, that they get exposed. You know, it's pretty straightforward. If you do something, it happens. And it needs to happen, really, because the danger here is, of course, pretty straightforward, evil. Evil. Now, get this. 2 years after the letter was written, Gunderson and half a dozen agents began to harass, libel, and threaten Hartwell for speaking out about Gunderson's anonymous sources, including relationships with officials linked to satanic churches and international pedophilia and child trafficking networks. A marriage too hot to handle. Gunderson's marriage to Ribley was taboo, since she edited the Satanic Bible, Satanic Rituals, The Complete Witch and the Devil's Notebook, while married to Anton LaVey. since the Rively Gunderson annulment, Gunderson has had a team of agents working to discredit anyone who dared mention his relationship with Rively or Temple of Set founder Michael Aquino, a most incriminating fact evidenced widely over the internet. The CIA agents involved with Gunderson covering up his marriage, filtering government corruption stories, and harassing, threatening, and discrediting journalists investigating his link to the Satanic Network include convicted felon Timothy Patrick White, or a Dr. True Ott, Greg Szymanski, Eric John Phelps, who we've had on the show before, Craig Oxley, John Miller, Don Nikoloff, Ken Adachi, Todd Fahey, and Anthony Hilder. Hilder allegedly retired from the CIA to produce low-budget, poor-quality films that have discredited several conspiracy stories and their analysts as per the agency's intent. Doug Miller, claimed by Gunderson to be the nation's expert on Aquino and his Temple of Set, likewise discredits himself and Gunderson too by writing aimlessly about Gunderson's targets. A good example is his review of Michael Aquino's letter to Ted Gunderson that Ott posted in his labvirus.com website, including White's limp rebuke of Hartwell, the confusing dribble capitulates suckers only as intended. Okay, this is the thing. It's all a big freaking conspiracy, but they make sure that it only sucks in the suckers, you know? The intelligent people, the people who are already in the know or already in the inner circles and whatever, they know straight off the bat that this is all, that it's all BS, if it is, you know? Just kind of like, there's a juxtaposition now between the conspiracy theory movement and the conspirers themselves, that we both understand each other's language and we both can expose each other very, very quickly, right? They're very afraid of all of us because of the fact that we know their modus operandi. Miller defamed Dr. Leonard Horowitz and the co-authors of this report at a conspiracy conference in 2010, falsely accusing him of being knighted by the Pope. Leonard Horowitz knighted by the Pope. That's so classic. Right. Even though Miller knew that his collaborators, Szymanski and Ott, had sourced the false claim and a fraudulent Knights of Malta list upon which the allegation was based. And indeed, that got out there, man. Seriously. Len Horowitz has been dealing with a hell of a lot of people still calling him COINTELPRO for being a Knight of Malta because of this one fake list that was released last year, okay? And people still believe it because they didn't look into it at all, okay? They didn't look into the fact that the list itself was totally faked, all right? It had a list of Knights of Malta, and there's all these big, you know, CFR and Trilateral Commission members, and then there's Len Horowitz, you know, he sticks out like a sore thumb. You're like, what the hell is his name doing in there? Turns out, oh, it was all a fraud. And the person who released it, I believe, was Benjamin Fulford, and he later retracted it. But the damage has already been done. And to this day, people still believe that Len Horowitz is a Knight of Malta, even though he does nothing of the sort. If, according to Gunderson and his agents, Aquino and his satanic church is public enemy number one, then Aquino's history, actions, and connections are keys to determine what is happening to America's abducted children and even the dysfunction within the Department of Justice. But Aquino's indictment has remained grossly neglected by Gunderson, several prosecutors and courts, and Gunderson's band of secret agents. This is why double agency propaganda is the only way to reconcile the weak, conflicting, and confusing exposures Aquino had received from Gunderson's group, Department of Justice officials, and the mainstream media. Now, Geraldo Rivera interviews Gunderson and Aquino. Now, this is funny. In 1989, NBC's Geraldo Rivera, basically, when Gunderson contradicted himself, lamely accused police and FBI officials for doing nothing about the Satanic Child Trafficking Network and made extremely nervous eye movements that experts say evidences lying. Viewed in retrospect as a propaganda piece, Gunderson and Aquino play good cop, bad cop to muddle the horrifying facts and cover up the organized crime network. Now, Rivera asked Gunderson, is there a network of satanic murderers in this country? Gunderson replied, I cannot say that there is a network of satanic murderers. Then he contradicted himself. I can say that based on information furnished to me by confidential sources and informants, based on interviews with dozens of survivors from the satanic operations through the years, satanic beliefs, etc., I can say that there is a network of these people across the country who are very active. They have their own reset and relaxation farm. They are in contact with each other. It ties in loosely with the drug operation. It ties into motorcycle gangs, and it goes on and on. It's the reason they use all these lower-level gangs and thugs and things of that nature, because the Satan worshippers are the best funded and the most well-organized, and they're usually the high-level public figures and things of that nature. And if you don't believe me, go and ask your local politician. You know, just read. Point one out at random and go ask them: Do they worship Satan, or do they kidnap children, or are they pedophiles? And you know, some of them, you'll notice that they start to get very nervous when you start talking about this kind of thing.
And there's a reason for that.
Now, it ties into motorcycle gangs and goes on and on. It's because these are the thugs, their henchmen that they can send out there that already have a bad reputation and whatnot, but already have access to a whole lot of people who basically have no real good family connections. The gang becomes their family, and so nobody really reports them missing afterwards, you know. They're doing this absolutely by intent, and that's why I refuse in any way, shape, or form to get involved with gangs. Okay, I don't care how great they think that they are, or what how fabulous their drugs are, or whatever. I don't want to get involved with them because they're all just a bunch of freaking evil scum that are basically just agents of even more evil scum. Okay, they have their own people who specialize in surveillance, photography, and assassinations. Gunderson said. Later in the show, Geraldo questioned Gunderson, do you believe, sir, that these dreadful allegations of babies being sacrificed are true? Gunderson said, I absolutely believe it without any doubt. Based on the information that's been given to me across the country by numerous survivors and by confidential sources and informants. Now, got a picture here of Dr. Michael Aquino. Now, you know how the Satan's devil horns, they come up on either side of the head, right? This guy's eyebrows match that. Like, honestly, it's absolutely hilarious. He's got devil horn eyebrows, of all things. It just shows you how freaking crazy these people are, you know? They model themselves after Satan. It's just so stupid. Aquino then discredited Gunderson by playing the bad cop. And the CIA, the Temple of Set founder, is actually Gunderson's MK Ultra boss. Aquino berated Gunderson. Then why don't you name these people and arrest them? Never a name, never an arrest. These people come out of a group and they insist that they know the people in the group, and yet they do not identify these large, mysterious cults. Name them and arrest them and get them off the street. Aquino was costumed to look like a cartoon character in devil's attire. He was immediately and subliminally discredited, and even though he asked crucial common sense questions. The stage broadcast was a mind trip for public deception. Geraldo, allegedly neutral, turned to Gunderson and asked, does he not make a valid point? Gunderson responded with a bunch of silly excuses. Oh, he makes a valid point. The problem with that is, number one, police officers don't believe it. I may believe it. You may believe it. And some people in your audience may believe it, but they don't believe it. Well, look at it this way. Police officers need to have evidence, okay? It has nothing to do with frickin' belief, Gunderson. Gunderson's statement was ridiculous given his FBI director's job required oversight of nearly 700 personnel, each of whom required professional training to follow his orders. Gunderson continued, if you decide to investigate these people, you have, number one, handle it from an undercover operation. If you put an undercover operation into effect, then you have, in a sense, your own police officers becoming involved in these heinous crimes, and they, of course, become murderers. And in addition to that, if you decide to investigate these people, there's a lot of work, and many law enforcement officers are apathetic and don't want to get involved. This, too, violates common sense, television, film, and law enforcement, wherein federal agents and spooks go undercover routinely to safely and investigate, indict, and jail criminals. So to say that, oh, they don't believe it, is just absolute hogwash. New evidence that the Franklin cover-up was a CIA black op. Gunderson's letter sparks new interest in his reported links to the Church of Satan or Temple of Set official Aquino, who is widely feared as America's Joseph Goebbels, the leading propagandist for the U.S. Army and a psychological warfare expert working for the CIA. Aquino broke from the Church of Satan founder Anton LaVey in 1975 to establish the Temple of Set, linked by solid evidence to the Church of Scientology and the U.S. Army. At the time, Aquino was a lieutenant colonel in the Army stationed at San Francisco's Presidio. He was identified by several children among more than 60 victims of pedophilia, vaginal sex, sodomy, and oral copulation, but was inexplicably acquitted. Okay? What these people do is they get themselves into the military and they use all their military training and all their military connections to run military operations on the public for the benefit of the elite. Okay? The elite wants some babies? Oh, boy, we're going to get some good old boys with that are trained to kill to go and get you some babies, boy. Oh, yeah. It's going to be good. It's going to be fantastic. In addition to advancing the Temple of Set, Aquino attracted nearly 30 Church of Satan members and officials, including Diana Rively's daughter, briefly Gunderson's daughter-in-law, Zena LaVey. On April 30th, 1990, Zena formally denounced her ties to Father Anton after the Church of Satan leader set her up to be sexually molested by a recognized stalker. Zena then pledged her allegiance to Aquino and his Temple of Set. These people are absolutely freaking crazy, man. And I don't know what it is. There's just some real sickness in this world today, okay? And not all of it is a natural sickness. I mean, because I think that there are spiritual dark forces at work here that do, in fact, manipulate people's minds. And they have all these really weird freaking rituals, this scary kind of music and these cults. And it's just you kind of get to the point where you think to yourself, man, are these people crazy, or are they actually really seriously devoted and believe entirely in the web of their lies, in the web of the deception? And the answer is most definitely yes. They do believe in all of this stuff, even if we don't. For example, I don't believe or subscribe to the thought that, oh, Satan is everywhere and idle hands are the devil's plaything and they'll wind up taking control of you if you don't pray to Jesus and whatnot. I don't believe in any of that kind of crap. But I do know for a fact that there are people out there who really do believe and love Satan, okay? And they serve them as subordinate scum. It is the whole idea, man. Now, it all speaks to controlled opposition, and it illustrates how modern propagandists serve to confuse people, you know, discrediting all sources of intelligence to generate general apathy, okay? Now, you know, it's very difficult to expose somebody if nobody gives a flying F about it. You know what I'm saying? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back after this very short break. Join us in the chat room at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and you can also join our Facebook group, The Vinnie Eastwood Show, right there on the CIA DARPA-controlled Facebook. Thank you very much. We'll be right back after the break.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face. All when my back is turned, they like to bury me without a trace. Oh no, no. Oh no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And check us out at gorillamedia.co.nz. Some fabulous articles posted there. Now, it does, of course, no good to talk about the satanic cult worship and child sacrifice without talking about solutions. Now, the you know what? I'm not sure if there really is one, unless it's kind of like Hitler's final effing solution, and you round up all these satanic worshipping scumbags and well, basically sacrifice them on the altar of liberty and freedom. You know, that's what I'd do with them. I mean, people have been hung, tarred, and feathered for less. You know, back in the day, people wouldn't put up with any of this kind of crap. They'd be like, hey, you're a Satan-worshipping scumbag. You're going to die now. I'm going to send you home to your Dark Lord, okay? And then you'll find out just how much he really loves you as you get perpetually raped and pillaged for the rest of your freaking existence and under a lake of fire, or as the belief goes. Now, it does, of course, occur to me that it's like a gangbang scenario, you know. I mean, if you've seen that movie, Eyes Wide Shut, you know, where they're having these big orgies and it's just so gross and disgusting and debauched, and it's all the elite and all the wealthiest people and all of that kind of stuff. Basically, that's a for the public version, like really, really toned down quite a lot version of what's actually happening, what's actually going on, okay? They're like celebrities, activists, politicians, business leaders, etc., etc., etc. They are all under suspicion. And the difficulty is, of course, that when you want to, go around pointing fingers at everybody and whatnot, it just becomes, I don't know, you turn into like a paranoid whack job yourself, you know. And beyond question, of course, it doesn't matter to me anyway whether or not somebody's actually COINTELPRO or not. What matters to me is what I'm doing about it. Okay, I don't really particularly mind if somebody's full of crap. You know, after all, I'm full of crap sometimes, and I'd prefer it if people called me on it. You know, in fact, you know, if you hear me saying something that's wrong, factually incorrect, or whatever, please send us an email, producer@thevinnieeastwoodshow, and tell me I'm wrong. But don't just tell me I'm wrong, of course. Provide a link or a certain bit of evidence so that I can read up on exactly why I'm wrong and then correct myself, okay? I think that basically I'm too young to know everything, and in my opinion there's no such thing as knowing everything because it's impossible. There's too much aggregate knowledge in the universe to know it all, frankly, okay? No matter how many books you read, how many videos you watch, how many documentaries, how much research you do, it's impossible to know everything, okay? So don't bother trying to know everything. Just try to know enough and assume that you know nothing, okay? It's pretty straightforward. That'll stop you from getting frustrated. But, of course, when it comes to these kind of topics, when we're talking about the worst of the worst of the worst, okay? And make no mistake about it. When you talk about the child kidnapping and all of that kind of stuff, that is the worst of the worst of the worst, okay? There is nothing, in my opinion, that is more deranged, disgusting, despotic, and terrifying than the thought that your government, your elected officials, your business leaders, all those people that you look up to, in fact, practice Satanism, worship the devil, and have such little respect for human life that they would violate it in such a way. Okay, be very, very aware that this is the modus operandi of these people. Okay, they are not there to help you be led into greener pastures. They're there to offer you candy so that you'll get in their car and go back to their satanic temple. for other games. You know, and it's not like it's like Tony Blair, for example. You know, mentioned him earlier on in the piece. Total scumbag. And if you mentioned the Hellfire Club, in fact, that's probably an idea. If you mentioned the Hellfire Club, which is incidentally connected to 10 Downing Street, I believe, via a secret passageway, it's a little club in England, which they recently, not too long ago, excavated from their fireplace, I believe it was, child remains. They were, and you have to be very, very high up on the political ladder, or you have to be extremely wealthy to be able to get into the Hellfire Club. Okay? Bear in mind that the more powerful you become, the more corruptible you become. Okay? Now, there's a long, sad history when it comes to the human race when somebody achieves the status of emperor. They think that they've actually achieved the status of God. Right? God can do no wrong, infallible, etc. That's why they go nuts. Okay? They go freaking crazy. All right? Emperor Nero of Rome burned down the whole place. You know, these people are effing insane. Will just explained to me. In fact, Will, I wanted to bring Will Ryan up on the show. If he's willing to talk about this, because he actually knows a bit more about Masons and the satanic cult and all of that kind of stuff than I do, because, I don't know, he reads, you know, I don't read, you know, very, very much, but the point of the fact is, it's, I can't really talk about this this topic in detail. And it becomes, of course, sort of like a repetition, exercise and repetition. Sorry, but of course, the difficulty is when you do want to actually expose these type of filthy scumbags. The real problem is that when you talk about this sort of stuff, people switch off. They get a little bit freaked out about it, you know, and understandably so. There is just some kind of invisible barrier that separates the sane from the insane, and really is there. And often it's so easy to overlook. It's so easy to get some description of, rudimentary analysis wrong, okay? Very, very simple. Because of the fact that the information is so complex, and as was outlined before, it becomes, of course, one of the elements that people don't really comprehend, okay? Is that there's secret occult knowledge behind virtually everything. Behind every single symbol, there's some kind of occult knowledge, okay? Why do you think that there are five-pointed stars on virtually every flag? All right, so you don't believe me? Try and find me a flag that doesn't have a five-pointed star on it, okay? Chinese flag, five-pointed star. Pentagrams. They're a satanic country. New Zealand. Five-pointed stars, pentagrams, satanic country. United States, 50 five-pointed stars, the ultimate satanic country. Okay? You see what I'm getting at here? These people, because they're so powerful, because they're so crazy, they think that their symbols give them power. Okay? I'm not necessarily saying that I believe in the power of symbolism or whatever, but that it is freaking everywhere. Okay, have a look at Shell, for example. The Shell logo. What does that look like to you? Does that look like a sun symbol? Like it's worshipping the Eye of Ra or something like that? Some kind of ancient Egyptian Temple of Set type thing? It's because it is. All right? This is the thing. people think that all this stuff happens by accident. And when I notice the fact that, in fact, I watched something like 5 or 6 television shows and movies yesterday. And each and every one of them had black and white Masonic flooring. Okay? Now, what are the chances, you know, if it were to happen by accident, would it happen quite so much like that? It couldn't. Statistically speaking, it's statistically impossible. Okay? Statistically impossible for the exact same markers of the occult to appear in seemingly unrelated films. Okay? Like, there was a film called Resident Evil, okay? And the house that they're living in, that they open up the film in, okay, in a bathroom with black and white tiling, okay? It is a Masonic symbol. They are showing you how they own you. They put their markers everywhere. Okay? Kind of like a dog takes a piss on a tree to mark his territory. The Masons and the Satan worshippers in our society put their symbols everywhere for us to see, to show their dominance. They put up their massive spires like the Auckland Sky Tower to channel demonic energy down to this earth. Or at least that's what their belief structure is. They're effing crazy. The whole lot of them. And they're running the country. I'm not the nuts one for discussing it. They're the ones who are nuts, and I'm just exposing it. And welcome back. Hour number 2. Of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Now, moving on from Satan worship and child kidnapping and rape to something much worse, Monsanto! And we have a very special guest for you, ladies and gentlemen, a good friend of Trillian, who is a remarkable musician. And Payday Monsanto, otherwise known as Pedro Monsanto, joins us now. Pedro, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Hey, well, I didn't know you were in the midst of a broadcast. That strikes me surprisingly funny. It's great. delightfully surprisingly funny.
Well, there you go. One thing that really concerns me in this day and age is that, well, did you read the recent article that, I think it might have been Forbes magazine, most powerful person on earth, based on like media coverage, wealth, saturation, etc., Lady Gaga.
Lady Kaka.
Oh, yeah. Lady Satan worship. And,
she's really cute, too, you know. It's a shame. But that's what they need. That eye candy is a big asset to the no world order.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just kind of want everything to be a sort of thing. Did you know that she's like kind of hermaphroditic?
I wouldn't be surprised. Like that Rihanna brought or whatever her name was. Or she had a big clitoris.
You know what's funny? There was an interesting part about Rihanna. One of her new videos. There's a scene where. You know how in videos they like shoot like about 8 different scenes and then they cut them together at different points throughout the video. Well, one of them is her when she's like sort of like kneeling down against a white wall and there's letters and words projected all over this world, kind of like newsprint writing. And I saw a freeze frame of it and it says "Princess of the Illuminati."
Get out of here!
No kidding, man.
Was this a fan generated thing or where does this spring from?
No, that's actually a screenshot from the video itself.
Are you kidding me?
No kidding, bro.
Oh, boy. And
they put it right out in front of you. Because of the fact that the words and letters appear for only like a second or so, the
so
subconscious...
That basically confirms what people were saying months after the girl came out.
Yeah.
maybe she's playing on it, you know? Well, you know, she likes to cover her eye a lot and do the ISIS thing. And, you know, it's great. Eye of Horus. And when
doing the rain dance.
Lady Gaga's history a little bit, not to interrupt, but know her history. Eye of Horus, that in a different spelling, that really is appropriate for her. Eye of Horus.
She puts the whore in Horus, I'm telling you. Yeah, yeah. She once wore a dress made of meat.
Yeah.
God.
I purposely don't try to keep up with it, but yeah, I was passing by a TV one time and I saw that. So
I remember
60 Minutes or somebody was doing a whole hour about the girl.
Oh, my God.
It's unconscionable.
Unconscionable. Now, anyway, let's get on to you and yourself. I'd love it if you could actually introduce yourself, both to me and the audience, because for those of us who are unfamiliar with your work, who you are, how you woke up, and what you're kind of doing with your fight against the New World Order these days.
Well, in a nutshell, who I am is anti the biggest, a primary threat that I see today, and that's the toying with our food. You know, that's one of them. There's a few, but I don't like Monsanto with a passion. I don't like their seeming, ostensibly they're immune when it comes to court cases. No judge will rule against. One did recently. But, beyond that, what woke me up is that gut feeling and I say this about four or five times in interviews, is when I saw George Bush Sr. pedophile's face on television when I was 12 or, I'm giving my age away a little bit there, but I just knew something wasn't right. And then when I got a little older and I took a hit of some lemon haze that first hit the streets from California, marijuana just magnifies the current situation. And I saw that there was something incredibly wrong with this individual. I didn't know what. But then I, shortly after that, in the late, mid-late 90s, I started learning about COINTELPRO, the SNL scandal, Federal Reserve, Creature from Jekyll Island, Secrets of the Federal Reserve, Eustace Mullins. I couldn't quite wrap my mind around it. So I went over it over the course of the last few years several times. I just read Secrets of the Federal Reserve about a year ago again for the fifth time. You know, you just have to keep revisiting this stuff to get a grasp on it. And I really don't even want to say I'm anti-New World Order, although I stirringly am, but I just want to say I shine light to make these cockroaches run. I don't fight, I shine light.
Yeah, I mean, the globalist cockroaches really do need to be crushed. And the interesting thing about a cockroach is that when you crush it, all its eggs come out and they form all these little baby cockroaches.
Yeah,
and I think that... Go ahead.
No, and I'm saying that they're spraying us like cockroaches, so there's a tremendous irony there. They're treating us like the cockroaches when these guys are the real cockroaches. In truth, which equals light, not to use their own language, but truth is light. The eye represents the sun represents brilliance, whatever. The truth shines light on these people, and it makes the real cockroaches, it exposes the real cockroaches. Meanwhile, they're spraying us like we're such.
Well, do you notice that they believe in the occult and all of that? I mean, I was just discussing that the first hour of today's show. Go ahead.
All around you see the sigils, and 9/11 was a mega ritual. That's all that was.
Yeah. Well, 9/11, the day itself, is a day of sacrifice by burning, according to the satanic calendar.
You know what? I've heard that. It's a very important date. A lot of important things throughout history happened on the 11th of months and September 11, even, throughout the last 100 years.
Indeed, George H.W. Bush in 1991, 9/11, gave a speech about how he wants a new world order.
And how construction on the Pentagon, 1940-something or something.
On 9/11?
The little pentagram, that's when that started.
Absolutely. And I read an article not too long ago where they matched the star charts. And the idea was that Jesus was born at a particular time when the stars were all in alignment or whatever. And what they did is they traced the star maps down to go back and try and figure out which date the stars would have aligned to be exactly as they were. and it was 9/11. You know, it's just like, oh, man.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked about that, yeah.
You know, it's like you're always shocked, but nothing surprises you now, eh?
Yeah, sarcasm off there, you know.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I'm not, you know, really stunned and shocked about that. But.
Well, it's just a thing. Like I always say, man, there's a whole world of knowledge out there. And anybody who refuses to learn it, they're missing out, man. And sometimes, of course, you do get too much information and you're like, oh, no.
They lose. You get bombarded, you know. Yeah, that's why you got to prioritize on what really counts. And I try to do that with my moniker there.
Mm-mm. Oh, absolutely. I mean, do you get sent
with our food?
Yeah. Do you get sent whole bunches of rafts of articles and information and videos and all of that and just think, man, I wish I could had the time to watch all of these, but I'm too busy?
Yeah, I do. I do. And, you know, I'll give most of them a shot if they look like they might be informative. And, you know, even a lot of times if it looks good, I'll sit there and, you know, the photos, you know, they put stuff, you know, text up there and I'll sit there and read it. Like I was just watching getting updated with the Roth Child timeline, which I read somewhere in a PDF years back, and somebody put it on YouTube. And, you know, 1 through 18, I sat there and watched the whole thing and read what I could, you know, just to stay updated with how these clock smokers are working.
Like clockwork.
You know, you learn a lot from the history, from history.
Have you noticed how history itself doesn't get taught very well these days? It's like all the boring facts, dates, figures, and basically they don't. When you get a history lesson, it's actually just it's not a history lesson at all, really, is it? Because you don't learn really anything about humanity when you get taught history in a class. But
no,
if you get taught the uncensored history, on the other hand, man, the information just really wakes you up. You kind of suddenly realize that everything that exists today is the result of something that they did in the past. Still going, man. It's still going strong.
And the educational system is brilliant. I mean, the way they've incrementalized it and stretched out what you could learn in 6 years, they've made a feat possible for them to happen in, 20 years. You know, just the way it's laid out, you have to take your hat off to it because from an early age, you're taught high story, not the real story, and then you go on believing it, and then you're taught if you don't join one of these universities, and you ain't going to do anything. And all these universities are, you know, straight. You know, when you get that mortar cap and tassel on your head, you're basically getting your head squared off by Freemasonic, spells. That's a ritual in itself. You know, that mortar board on your head. It's like they're squaring you off. You're approved and you get the stamp and then boom. You know, you get this school to work stuff. They're trying to pick up the pace. They're actually trying to do what I would like to see done and what many would like to see done in reverse. Train, because they're getting, the system's becoming much better now and more efficient. You know, they can have people in work using high school and put them right to work. Depending on it's a class thing.
Schools like it. School for me is like the intellectual equivalent of Walmart, you know, exactly. Just totally manufactured,
Walt
cheap.
Disney.
Yeah.
It's like the Atom that Walt Disney showed you, you know, Walt Disney's version of the Atom when they knew much better, much more complex than it. It's Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you see, the interesting thing is we talk about how much more complicated it is, and then of course, it's also very simple. Basically, it's only complicated because there's a lot of lies, whereas it's only simple if you look at the one truth.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't have said it better if I had a dream. I was the all-knowing.
When we talk about like waking humanity up and all of that kind of stuff, I mean, you're a musician, and why did you get into making music about the New World Order and about Monsanto and about the evil agenda against humanity? I mean, did you have a teacher or an inspiration or something along those lines to help wake you up and motivate you, or did it just kind of happen naturally?
I would say a little bit of both, you know, because I always gravitated. I was interested in facts and books, and there was a lot of local, talk show hosts and whatever that have since become blacklisted, who were telling the truth, and that's how I got interested by I got introduced to Creature from Jekyll Island by a guy named Irv Homer, Evil Irv Homer, the agnostic Jew, he called himself, and he just told too much truth. And I went and got that book, and then, you know, a whole world just opened up to me. And, you know, my grandfather showed me the back of the money. He said, if you can find the Al, I'll give it to you. And I had other people in my youth point out the symbolism in that money. And it was spooky to me in my early teens, just looking at the symbolism. I didn't know what it meant. But, you know, it was always protest music. If you listen to my stuff from maybe the mid-90s, early mid-90s, late 90s, it sounds angry because I couldn't quite put my finger on what I was trying to do. I was just upset about something. I didn't know what. And then a couple years before 9/11 and thereafter is where I think you see a progression in my music, where I started to learn a little bit more about the mechanisms by which it operates. And, you know, I could hold my own in a conversation when I said to someone in you know, casual conversation, you know, your Federal Reserve deems you a slave since so-and-so, you know, you've been a slave since so-and-so. Everything you hear on your news is false. And, you know, I wouldn't even trust the news, Capital Cities, ABC, American Broadcasting System. I know you guys got one out there. Newscaster, if he told me that ingesting mercury was bad for you, you know, although how blatantly true that might be, you just got to think that what these people are telling you may be the opposite. The truth.
Well, absolutely. If they say that the weather is fine, you have to stick your head out the window to make sure.
What did Bob Dylan say? Don't take a. I don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows.
Yeah. It's the thing. Have we become detached from knowledge and reality through forced propaganda to the point where we no longer recognize what it is to be human anymore? Essentially, because of the information control and all of that, we've ceased to be human in many of the ways that we used to be.
Well, yeah, the educational system, I mean, for instance, I don't know if there's a test from like an American school test from 1868 or something. And if you look at it, you know, the average high schooler, this is an eighth grade test. I mean, the average eighth grader would look at this and say, the average college graduate would look at it and be perplexed. So, you know, in the 1920s and 30s, since the Rockefellers took over the national education system, you can see the deliberate dumbing down. And you can read about that per, you know, people like Charlotte Iserby and, you know, Gatto. And they deliberately dumbed down the American, and I'm sure it's all over the world. You know, Britain, MI6 controls the CIA. I might rantle out about the Jews a lot, but I know where it goes. It might be the Yiddish Empire, but it all comes from the MI6, in my opinion. Tavistock, you know. And they've just dumbed down the educational systems throughout the Western world tremendously.
Well, it's a thing, and we keep saying this over the show, and that of course, when you talk about brainwashing and manipulation, propaganda, the thing that keeps recurring for me, at least over and over again, is the fact that they're trying to capture one generation. All they need is one generation to be educated in a certain way, and then by the time that generation has grown up to the age of like a 40, 50-year-olds, which are basically the age group that rules society, more or less, in my opinion. Once they grow up to that point, boom, whole world control.
And that's what's stopping them now, because we've, to a point, reversed and engineered that strategy, because all we need is a generation, you know, a critical mass that's out there spouting the truth to combat this, although we can't compete with the vast universities and such. In the schooling system in general, but you know, we can reverse engineer this, and I think that's what has staved them off so far from maybe nuking a city and trying to blame the new white Al Qaeda.
White Qaeda. All right, my very special guest is the fabulous microphone controller, Payday Monsanto. Google him, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be right back after this very short break. Please don't. back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz or .co.nz if you happen to speak old American English. Now, my very special guest, Payday Monsanto, joins me now. And we have a song of yours, mate. Can you tell us about this song, New Al-Qaeda, before we play it?
The New Al-Qaeda is extemporaneous, and it's a spur-of-the-moment impromptu song that when I found out that we finally got that CIA to ask that, you know, I had to do something. So this is basically the first Passover, first pressing, I released it for free download, it's not quite done, but you get the gist of it.
Gentlemen, it is my great pleasure to introduce to you today the successor of the recently deceased Osama bin Laden, Anwar al-Awlaki.
Thank you. I'm your new Al-Qaeda chief, let's have a blast. Mossad told me that my legacy will last. Osama did a good job in the past, but he could not have dinner with the Pentagon brass. There's a new Al-Qaeda on the rise, could be from Kansas, it would be no surprise. Americans better keep open their eyes and expect retina scans with a burger and fries. We recruit with a super major lobby, homegrown terror, it could be your neighbor Bobby. My handlers are here, somebody's coming in.
Oh look, it's Adam Gazzara. Oregon, my friend.
Hey, yo, I was raised in Orange County, but that's beside the point. These people do not need to know a solid everything about me, Al-Waki. Just what are you declaring? You're not replacing Osama. I'm the heir apparent.
Okay, Perlman, just who do you think you are?
That's a dumb question, Al-Waki. You see my chart?
Well, you're mistaken if you think that I will call you Lord, because your granddaddy sat on a Benet Brit board.
Bin Laden's gone, but his ghost survives. Al-Qaeda's just been
not like me, contraire.
New Al-Qaeda has blue eyes, blonde hair.
The new Al-Qaeda drive big green John Deere.
Celebrates with all in Times Square.
Osama bin Laden is dead. Happy days. Happy days, everybody. This is the greatest night of my career. The bomb is dead.
Not so fast, Mr. Reporter with handlebar mustache. To read a script in front of you, they pay you lots of cash. I do not purport to get a great fee, but the same people who pay you pay me.
The MI6 is the CIA, is the Pentagon, Mossad, all in together.
Bin Laden's gone, but his ghost survives. His family frolic, his children thrive. He's long been gone since 2002, but it's breaking story news to you.
That's about the big ball of wax on that one.
Thank you. got enough room in Al-Qaeda Tower for the both of us. Okay? Let's get out of here.
Oh, yeah. And so give us a little bit of a background about that song. I mean, now that we've all heard it, except me, of course, because I can't listen to the thing that I play through Skype.
that's unfortunate. Well, background is I heard the news and sat down, and first thing that came to me, I projected.
Pretty straightforward.
I'm sorry?
Pretty straightforward then, eh? It's like... When you're an artist, everything can be seen as some form of inspiration. Do you think so?
Yes, no doubt about it. And I thought it a complete farce. So I was in a happy mood. I just wanted to do something playful as possible. You know.
Yeah.
Same thing with when I made the I don't know if you heard the Sheeple of America. That's probably one of my most popular songs. You know, I was in a real playful mood and feeling groovy. So, you know, it seems.
So you thought you'd just insult all the morons in America? I get that. Yeah.
Or, yeah, not insult them per se, but just acknowledge them.
Yeah. Well, I think to acknowledge them and their general stupidity is to insult them to a certain extent, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. But some of them are impervious to the insults. And, you know, when they are insulted, they take it the total wrong way and want to get belligerent with you.
Oh, well, you know, you can't help that, though.
Yeah, I walk away from them people, you know. There's for every one of them, there's probably, you know, 9 or 12 others who, you know, I like the people who say, when I tell them things, and they say, get out of here, I don't believe you. Yeah, I like the incredulous ones, but still curious, the incredulous curious. You know, I don't believe a word you're saying, I'm going to go check this out. You know, and then they go and check it out for themselves. The ones who dismiss it out of hand, you know, I try to read them and see if that's going to be their MO, and I just distance myself and I'm gone. You can't fix stupid, and a lot of them aren't even stupid. A lot of them are just cognitive dissident sufferers, and you can't fix that either.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like if you enslave your population's mind, they enslave themselves for you, you know?
Well, yeah, and their government becomes their mommy. So when you talk bad about their government, it's like saying your mommy's out to hurt you.
Yeah, your mama's so fat, her belt size is the equator.
Your mama's economy's so fat, it cost her $2.3 trillion just to pull off 9/11.
Oh yeah, well, and it's great, you know, when we talk about the economy, because the thing that occurs to me most when it comes to discussions about the economy is that the prime economic instrument is the CIA.
you know,
they basically run the economy, which is why, incidentally,
the plunge protection team, CIA. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Oh yeah. Well, I was just going to say that, you know, on a fact-by-fact basis, have a look at all the CIA chiefs, okay? Very few of them didn't get there from Wall Street.
Yeah, a lot of them were Jesuits, and many of them did get there from Wall Street. But the first Jesuits, if you really look at the background, were Murano Spanish Jewish people. You know, Ignatius Loyola and a couple others who founded the Jesuit order were, in fact, of Jewish persuasion. So that was just their way of infiltrating the Catholic Church. And the Rothschilds were supposed to be the trustee of the Vatican treasure, but they basically usurped it.
Yoink!
It's the British/Yiddish Empire running stuff, man. It's not a Jewish Gentile thing, but at the top they celebrate. It's like wrestling. You know, when I was young, I was 12 years old and 14 or something. My aunt took me to a wrestling match, Hulk Hogan versus Macho Randy Man Savage, and man, I thought this stuff was real. And we went into the Four Seasons Hotel and they were having a drink together. It broke my heart. Politics is no different.
Well, you know, I like what Jesse Ventura says, is that politics is identical to pro wrestling. In front of the audience and all of that, I'm going to beat the crap out of you. And then at the, after the wrestling match is over, they go and have beers together, you know?
They get drunk and play horseshoe and talk about how stupid the general population who
and how great it is to kidnap their children.
Imagine what the congressmen must think. I mean, their constituents write them and tell them, I don't want this, and they do it anyway, and you just continue to get reelected, probably with the assistance of your Diebold equivalents and whatnot. They must really have a ball on the golf course or in the club where they, you know, do their little, peccadillies.
The Piccadilly Circus. Yeah,
Piccadilly, no pun intended.
Oh yeah. And we talk about the governments and how they're corrupt and all of that kind of stuff. And people go like, oh well, but there's some nice people in there. And they go like, yeah, there might be one or two out of the hundreds of evil Satan worshipping scumbags that are in the pockets of lobbyists. Well, okay,
if you look, you know, the FBA's been trying to recruit the last Islamic terrorists. You know, they actually are on a hunt to find people who are willing to take bombs, real or fake, and blow stuff up.
Yeah, absolutely. And even in Canada, they're now having the worst freaking time ever because they're obviously under attack by Al-Qaeda, spelled E-L-K, Hyder.
Yeah.
There's lots of elk in Canada, you hear? And it's like...
I missed that.
But at least Canadians can hunt, unlike Al Qaeda, who are now helping out. Admittedly,
the
rebels,
too, so.
The rebels in Libya.
I can't wait. I'm sure in like the highly populated Asian areas, they're going to fabricate like the Asian Al Qaeda soon, like in Vancouver. See a lot of Asians. You can't leave, and then the Black Al Qaeda, the homegrown terrorism thing is going to take off. That's why they had to quote kill Osama, you know, so they can get the new boogeyman out, who is internet savvy. This Al-Awlaki guy, you know, he's smarter, American born, you know. And the other prospective Al-Qaeda leader, the Adam Gadan, whose grandfather was on the chair of the ADL, of B'nai B'rith outfit, a guy named Adam Perlman, who changed his name to Adam Gadan. I think his name was Adam Perlman, or whatever. You know, these guys got affiliations with B'nai B'rith.
Who's B'nai B'rith?
B'nai B'rith is a Freemasonic order of the Jewish persuasion. They basically, their lodges reign supreme. You know, there's been quotes from the 1880s, the late 1800s, to even up into the 50s, where high-level rabbis... Jewish figures say that if you take away Judaism, and they really mean Talmudism, from Freemasonry, and what do you have? High Freemasonry is essentially Talmudic by nature. And, you know, that's one thing that it's probably only about, 0.12% that are actually running things. The rest are out there baking apple pies and getting the fingerprints ready for the child identification in schools and doing charitable work. And that's another brilliant facet of how they run stuff, you know. When you assault a Mason, you got to be really specific, because there's a lot of good Masons out there who think they're doing God's work, and they're just, they haven't even passed the 13th, the Royal Arch degree yet, so... Yeah,
well, you know, it's just like there are Masons freaking everywhere. Like our Prime Minister, John Key, former Merrill Lynch Federal Reserve employee on the board
of... You'll never find no one in a high place that's not affiliated with some kind of order. And anytime you see order, like Fraternal Order of Police in the States, that's Masonic. And I was arguing with a cop about this the other day on a message board. I sent him the logo and showed him the Freemasonic handshake that's on there and the other... Freemasonic insignia. Anytime you see order, you know, you can probably rest assured it's some kind of order of high or Freemasonry.
Yep. And which is incidentally why you see black and white tiling on the floor of the New Zealand Parliament.
Indeed.
Yep. And it was incidentally why
you see it.
Well, it's also why the country's biggest Masonic lodge is actually on Parliament grounds in New Zealand.
Uh-huh. One of the world's biggest, well, I think it might be the second or third, is here in Philadelphia. And it ominously overlooks City Hall, like the chapel thing that it's on the southwest corner. They have a part higher than the rest, and it's like it's facing City Hall, and it's ominously overlooking City Hall, like, this is where the justice quote is done, but we run you.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, if you see it, I'll try to get a picture I had before. I mean, this is the way it's looking at City Hall. It paints a thousand
overarching, menacing, etc.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Nefarious as could be looking.
Yeah. Well, it's just like all of our countries are founded by these Freemasonic scum, aren't they?
Yeah.
Pretty much. You go to any town and.
I got a bad connection here. I hope it don't continue.
No, it's all good. It's probably just the CIA. Now, we're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. A very special guest is a fabulous microphone controller, Payday Monsanto. And we'll be right back after this very short break with a little bit more talk about Freemasons and the fabulous New World Order. Back in a moment.
Wonderful.
Some kind of way out of here.
Said the corrupt senator to his scumbaggery detail.
Yeah, yes, chase him out. Take him out on the white.
Drink my wine. Come and dig my earth. That's a good comeback song.
Take him out on the White House lawn and shoot him in the face. Nobody ever could deny that they've taken over this place. Yeah.
Yeah, you might inspire me to do a interpolation of that song.
Yeah, well, you know, apparently under fair use policy, US Code 17, I think it is, 117 or something, if you do parodies, spoofs, or educational versions of songs, you don't violate copyright.
Yeah, well, I heard that, but I interpolated a Pink Floyd song, and they tried to give me grief for it, but I slid it through there anyway. But hey, if I did something like that, I would just put it out there for any people to download.
Yeah. Try not to make too much money off of it because, you know. Who knows?
I don't mind that. You know, when it's somebody selling my stuff, I'm not that rich that you can go do that. But if people want to make 1,000 copies of my stuff and hand it out, don't try to sell it out. then I'm sending the goons after you.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a difference there. Like, for example, if you're getting donations instead of sales, I wonder whether or not they differentiate. But, you know.
Yeah, well, that would be ideal, yeah. You know, instead of them taking the $3, I could just pay this minuscule PayPal fee or whatever. But that's happened a couple times. But, hey.
Well, you know, everybody needs money in this day and age because, after all, hey, you won't be able to buy your food otherwise. And But, you know, because of the food inflation and the monetary inflation and all of this, basically, survival is becoming something that I believe is no longer assured in the Western world. I mean, previously up till now, you know, you've got basically nothing to fear. Nothing's going to, like, just straight up kill you out of the blue or whatever. You know, you can eat, you can keep yourself warm. It's pretty easy because everything's affordable. But
yes. A loaf of bread is the same as a gallon of gas over here.
Yep. 2 liters of milk is actually cheaper than 2 liters of gasoline here, and we're in the highest milk producing country in the world. And explain that one.
That should boggle one's mind.
Yeah.
Absent the understanding of why. You know. Just on the surface, it boggles my mind until. You figure out the mechanics behind it.
Yeah, I mean, when you see things that are like stark like that, it makes you think, you know what? This entire economic system is just one big effing fraud, isn't it?
It's crony capitalism disguised as a free market.
Yeah, straight from the effing get-go. And what really ticks me off is when so-called alternative press start to, like, hover back towards the mainstream. Like, you know, shows like this and, you know, Freedom Files and all the other great shows on American Freedom Radio, always talking about real Shiite Muslim, okay? And when we talk about the alternative press, they should always be talking about something real, always talking about total criticism, always laying out the facts, always laying out resistance. What I've seen of late, at least here in New Zealand, is that a lot of our alternative press people are basically just a bunch of big government leftists who are now decided that they want fame, they want fortune, so they're going to support the status quo and have those same kind of pathetic, moronic arguments like, oh, we need more jobs to help the economy, as opposed to what I'd say, which is well, the economy is controlled by elite criminal banksters.
they get back into that left-right paradigm,
And it's like the real... it's just such a frustrating state of affairs. It just makes you want to stab something, but there's nothing nearby.
Marvin Gaye said it, you know. Make them want to holler the way they do my life. He knew it back then. He knew what the deal was. You know, money, we make it. Before we see it, they take it. Bills pile up sky high. Send that boy off to die.
When we talk about, you know, our society being run by criminal banks and all of our people being sent off to die, I mean, they've got Memorial Day weekend coming up in the US. What's Memorial Day weekend about? I mean, I'm from New Zealand. I don't have an effing clue. Is it to do with dead soldiers and all of that kind of stuff and honoring them?
Yes, indeed. They pay homage to the deceased soldiers that died for the banks.
Well, you know, and that's the point that I was trying to make here, is because we had our own Memorial Day, which we call Anzac Day, the Australian-New Zealand Army Corps, which were basically was formed in World War One, so that under the British government they could send both Australian and New Zealand colonists off to die. But they gave them a nice uniform, which attracted the girls for a very short period of time. Come on, join the army, get a uniform, get some girls, and get a bullet to the head.
And any most dedication memorial things you see, You will also see sacrificial symbolism that actually pays homage to the gods for the sacrifice. That it's like that at the Vietnam Memorial. I forget exactly what it is. It's a representation of a goddess of sacrifice of some sorts. You know, they just they memorialize them. You know, the esoteric and the esoteric. You know, the people think it's there to pay homage. But it's really there to pay homage to the blood sacrifice with the gargoyles and stuff.
It's absolutely true. That's why they all the new United States shoulder badge, for example, doesn't have the United States flag. It has a corporate flag, and the way you can tell the difference is that the corporate flag has a gold bar around the outline of the flag.
Yeah, that's the Maritime Admiralty Law flag. Yeah,
that's right, and that means that you represent the corporation, the United States. That means that you are being sent over to die to collect corporate revenue to kill people. And all the rest of the symbols on your uniform, like the three-pronged spear that you kind of see on religious ceremony and that kind of stuff, those are occult symbols. When you die...
That's Satan's tail right there.
That's right. When you die, it counts as a blood sacrifice to Satan, okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, let's talk about Memorial Day. We will remember them, lest we forget that they were lied to by criminal banks who worship Satan, and then they were sacrificed for blood, for the blood god.
In all four or five wars, I think, that are included, yeah, most certainly. 1, 2, 3, Vietnam. I mean, 1, 2, 3 was is really the war going on now, or was the Cold War in a lot of neocons' minds. But, yeah, World War One, World War Two, Vietnam, Korea, all bankster initiated fabricated wars.
Okay, so look at it this way, ladies and gentlemen. You got anybody that you know that's in the military that is in danger of being sent overseas, which would basically be all of them? Get them the F out of there, okay? And tell them that they are going to be sacrificed by their government for the worship of the Dark Lord. Okay.
Well, if the guy Charlie Rangel, rep from New York, has his way, the black guy with the perm who wants to be Al Sharpton, you know, the draft is coming. He's gotten a bill that's probably right from the Council on Foreign Relations, as they all are, all the meaningful ones anyway, that wants to reinstate the draft. This guy probably got a couple hundred grand just to say, here, I wrote this bill, and I think we need to reinstate the draft. So if Charlie Rangel and his ilk get their way, then they won't have a choice.
Mm.
I'm fleeing to, back to British Columbia. That happens to me.
Mm. Join Al-Qaeda.
I'm too old and fat anyway.
Being too old.
Walking the recruiting office with a limp. And a lazy eye.
Yeah. Go, oh, hire me, boy. Like I'm a great sharpshooter.
Talking Tourette syndrome.
Yeah. You know, I always thought it'd be a great idea to have politician boot camp, you know. You know, just to teach them how to be. It's like in the starting scene of Full Metal Jacket, where he goes, you know, no, it's Starship Troopers. The first words and the last words out of your stinking hole will be, sir. Is that clear? Sir, yes, sir. Now, you will never answer a question directly if I ask one to you. Is that clear? Perhaps, maybe, sir.
Is that Full Metal Jacket or the other one? That sounds familiar from Full Metal Jacket.
Starship Troopers, bro.
Either way. Same shit. Oops. Same stuff.
Yeah. Well, hold on one second, ladies and gentlemen. I've just got somebody at my door, a courier man. So hold on one second. Can you just tell us a little bit about your music's payday for a second? Sorry about this, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't be going longer than 30 seconds. I'm joking. I can take a minute or two. You know, it's just started off, like I said, sounding angry and preachy 8 years ago. And I took things and did a reassessment and said, you know, what do I have to do to make this more palatable to people? And then I started on that journey. So, you know, it went from, there's still a tish of anger in a lot of my stuff, but I think it's qualified and tempered by the facts presented and just the poetic license in general. You know, I don't want to infuriate people. I don't want to preach to people. I just want to simply lay out the facts and then maybe caption it with, close it out with my humble opinion of what them facts, the implications of them facts.
Mm. Well, thank you so much, Payday, for coming on the show today. Do you have a website you could fire out there?
PaydayMonsanto.com, or you can Google Payday Monsanto if you want to sample the latest. It's Itanamuli, Call Me When You're Free, and I don't know if you got that track, Free, again. That's the title album off the Call Me When You're Free. You can Google Lambs to the Slaughter, Payday Monsanto. That's one I put out a couple years ago, and sample that as well. You can reach me at paydaymonsanto@gmail.com if you have any questions.
All right.
Yeah, you can also YouTube or Google video paydaymonsanto.com and see the vast array of work that my good friend Brandon, the videos he made for me. Shout out to the Intel Hub and my friend Bob Tuscan, my friend Sal Keys.
And we'll see you again some other time, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks very much.